Welcome back to the Point to Post podcast after a little bit of a hiatus. I'm your point guard, Toby Miller, back with the postman, Mr. Eric Sweet, and sweet shaved head, nice tan. Been on about 19 vacations in the 2 weeks we've taken off, but this hiatus was not necessarily for Sweet's vacation plans. It was revolving around a trip down to Peach Jam with our AAU organization. But Sweet, how are you? How are you doing recovering from vacation? My grandfather always said the man in most need of a vacation is one returning from vacation.
Yeah, and so I just can try to keep going on vacations. We're going to leave Monday now again for Florida. I've been outside so much that I had to wear a sweatshirt inside because, like, you get cold. Like, you go outside, you get tan. You come inside, you get cold. You got to wear a hoodie. And so, you're on vacation mode when you come inside and you're so warm that the air conditioning feels like it's like 65 degrees. And so you got to put a hoodie on to stay warm inside your house. And so that's true vacation mode, man. You know you're on vacation when the hoodie comes out and you got to wear it. So July hits, man. And I love my vacations. I take full advantage of being a teacher and having my summers off. That's for sure.
July is really the only time that we have extreme downtime because come August, like, you're coaching your kids' football programs. I'm the golf coach at Huron, too, which is probably another topic for another day. That's an interesting situation. Sweet. Coaching fifth grade and sixth grade tackle football and the golf coaching thing, that would be something worth a spinoff. But, yeah, sweet. July. Relaxing time for most people, but for the Ohio Buckets AAU organization, it was a very exciting time.
Yeah, I mean, I was a part of the run in the springtime to help you get there, and your kids played extremely well in the spring, and so that was something I kind of want to discuss a little bit before we get into Peach, how you got there. But yeah, what an exciting time. That week, it felt like 2 weeks, is about a week and a half. You played 10 games. I think I watched every single one of them, except for the one or two that the streams kind of went in and out. But there's a lot of questions I have since I wasn't allowed to be there. For people that are listening, the Peach Jam is the most exclusive event there probably is for AAU basketball. I mean, A, you have to be in the Nike organization family. B, you have to then earn your way into it. And then for us, and for you especially, we really had to earn our way into it because only two teams got to go into it out of the Champions League that the Nike formed. So Toby's an exclusive, in rare air this year making that Peach Jam. And so I got a lot of questions not being able to go down with you. You know me, I love talking facilities and all that stuff. And so I got some questions for you about all that. But to get us started, Toby, talk about the game. And I got one in my head. I'm hoping the one you're talking about, but the game that kind of helped us win your division and got you into going to Peach Jam, towards the end of the springtime is what I'm talking about here. We had one really big game that we had to go and win, to get you to be the top of the division that we were set in. And so talk about that game real quick this past spring, and then we'll dive into all my, Peach Jam questions that I got. And, I got quite a few of them. So here we go. Go ahead, Tobes.
So, Sweet, I'm guessing the game you're thinking of is the MOCAN game where we had all hands on deck. So the way it works, the way Sweets did a nice job of describing it, is you have to win your division in the EYBL Champions League to get to go to Peach Jam. So there's 10 or 11 teams in each division. You have to be first to get down there to Peach Jam. And so our very first game in the springtime on the Nike circuit, we played Team Thad, which is a team run by Thaddeus Young, and we lay an absolute egg. We make one or two 3-point shots, and we'll talk about this a lot. My team is very dependent on the 3-point shot. I think we've mentioned that on the podcast before. Gotta have bing bongs for this team to be successful. But we come out and lay an absolute turd burger against Team Thad. I think we were a little bit in awe of the venue, being at Nike and stuff. That particular team that we lost to, Team Thad, I think only won two or three games the entire year, and we were one of them. So that ended up being our only loss then. We went on like an 8 or 9 game win streak after that. And so it all comes down to our second to last game on the schedule is MOCAN Select. And MOCAN is one of the premier organizations around AAU basketball. Their top team is on the regular EYBL, and then their second team is on the EYBL Champions They always have really, really good players. And so MoCAM was undefeated, and we had one loss. It was our second to last game against these guys. So if we beat them, we hold the head-to-head tiebreaker, and would get to go to Peach Jam as long as we win the following game. So we get into this game, and it was a really cool experience because it was all hands on deck. Like Meisler, who's our program director and 16U coach, was on the bench helping. Sweet, who is our head coach for the 15U, came and was on the bench helping. It was a true full-staffed collaborative approach to that. And that game was really high-level offensive basketball. Nobody could guard anybody. The shot-making was through the roof. Our team came out and shot the ball extremely well. We got a lot of open looks for our shooters, Braylon Morris especially, Jaden Crutcher knocked in shots. And that opened up the floor in the second half for our guards, Makai Leach and Jason Henlon, who are really good at getting to the basket. They really kind of closed the game out for us at the rim. But early on, those guys were making shots. And we got up about, I think we got up 15 early, Sweet. And Mokin's just so good. Like, you knew they weren't going to go away. They went to a half court or three quarter court, 1-3-1, and we turned it over a couple times. I think it got down to about 8 or 9, but it never got below that. And I remember one key turning point was they were on their run with about, I don't know, probably 2 minutes left, Sweet. They got it to 8, and we called timeout and we ran a play that we had in our playbook for a 5-man post up usually. But I decided to switch it around and run it for Makai, who is our combo guard, Division One player. And we got a back screen for Makai, and he went down to the post and caught it pretty much with nobody around him, maybe one defender help side. He caught it, went up, got hit, fouled, and one finish. And that was kind of how we sealed that game. And I remember in that moment, the energy from the bench, from you, from Meisler, from the kids, everyone kind of knew, like, oh shoot, like that play right there might have just, solidified our chances to go to Peach. What do you think, Sweet? Am I misremembering anything from that game?
No. What I kind of want to explain to some of the listeners, and I know we have all age groups listening to this, is that game as a coach in the way the kids played. I can explain to these people listening is like, may you know, a lot of kids have hopefully or been in this situation. Like you're going for a league championship, and it's a must-win game for you to win the league title. That was kind of the energy you had. Or if you've been fortunate enough to be in a district finals game where you're trying to win a district championship and go to regionals, that type of energy and focus was across the board from both teams. And it was an outstanding game. And both teams had just that focus and determination and knowing that this game mattered to get to this exclusive event that's called Peach Jam. And we'll talk about the opportunity that our players had to sit in front of Division One coaches. But for the listeners, that one game where you've worked really hard for, and all of a sudden it's like this game is going to win you the league championship. This game is going to send you to regionals. That was the energy and the feel that we had walking into it. Because I remember, like, it was like, it's a must win. It's like, you have to win this. And so it was an outstanding game to be a part of. It felt high level, high energy. Both kids, both teams played extremely well. And so that was an outstanding event. And it got you to this exclusive event that we're going to dive into now, Toby, with Peach Jam. And so I want you to start off with this. So you talked about the very first game of the Nike circuit when we lost and how we walked into the Nike event, and that was probably the maybe not the nicest one, but you said that it was all in one building under one roof, and everybody was there, all the top EYBL teams, all this stuff. And so now you're walking into Peach Jam and you're facing, let's just be honest about it, the biggest name in basketball in the last 20 years, his program. I mean, look, you're going to play Strive for Greatness and LeBron James's team and his son's on the team. And they travel differently. I remember I did it when I was in high school. We played against LeBron when he was at St. Vincent St. Mary's. They travel differently. They have a different aura about them. So let's talk about the very first game of Peach Jam. Walking in, I watched it on TV. It was packed. It was crowded. Give me kind of the feel of walking into that game and the game kind of getting started, because it definitely, from the TV's perspective, had an aura of, regional final state appearance type feel watching it on TV. So give me your thoughts here of walking into that first game down at Peach facing LeBron James's Strive for Greatness team.
So first of all, we're all kids at a candy shop down there. Like, we're so excited. Like, God, we earned this. Like, smiling. Everybody's happy. We just drove 12 hours. Like, all right, let's get out. So we're in that gym way earlier than we should have been. I went and got basketballs for us. We were in there like an hour and a half before tip. And if you know AAU basketball, you usually get 3 minutes to warm up. And we're in there an hour and a half before shooting, excited, whatever. About 30 to 25 minutes before tip, all of a sudden, the back right side door to the gym, not the you, this gym was in the back of the facility. So you had to kind of like walk in the front, go through past all the courts, go past all the vendors, go past concession, blah, 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 all the way to the end. The back right door to the actual gym opens up, and in comes what looks like a Hollywood movie crew. They have lights, a mic on like what do they call that? A boom. They
Yeah,
have everything.
the
Yeah, a boom. And in comes Strive for Greatness. And it was like a movie. It was like something out of a movie. Like, they were coming in. They immediately sat down. They had a trainer who ran their dynamic stretching and warm-ups for them. They were fully staffed with a bunch of assistant coaches. And they came in and they knew that, you know, they were the heavy favorites, and they knew they were here to take care of business. And one thing that I wanted to talk about was, an organization like that, that has been there, done that, is proven, has really good players. They could have been really rude and condescending to us, but their coaches were extremely professional, really talkative, really nice, complimentary of our team and our program. And I kind of thought it was going to be the opposite just from things that I've experienced in the past. Another thing that I thought was interesting, and we'll talk about it more when we get into the game, is they scouted us really well. And that's one thing that I thought they were going to show up and just, you know, think they had better players and roll us. They actually knew our personnel pretty well. They knew one or two of our plays, and they did a nice job with that. But the aura around the place, you could see it on the TV. It was basically like, it's almost like a full bowl. Like, there's bleachers underneath the baskets, there's bleachers behind the benches, and the far side is kind of open because that's where the cameras and the college coaches sit. So there's, you can envision like chairs like at a banquet lined up for the college coaches. So by the time this game tipped off, it was standing room only. The ushers had to stop allowing people into the gym because it was at capacity. So the bleachers are chock full everywhere. There's probably anywhere from 40 to 60 college coaches just lining the far side. And it felt like a district championship, like you said, regional final type game. And the crazy part was, not one person that was associated with anything but Ohio Buckets was cheering for us. The only people in there cheering for us were the Ohio Buckets parents. We were the away team. And not to jump the gun or anything here, but when they started off the game, they went on a 6-0 run. And I believe they had a couple of dunks in that 6-0 run. The floor was shaking. The whole gym was vibrating and it was loud, and people were screaming and stomping and everything. And I called that timeout, and I had to fake and lie the most composed that I've ever been in my whole life. I had to walk out there like I was not fazed at all, cool, calm, collected. It's like, guys, we just got to settle down and take care of the ball. I said, this is a great atmosphere. It's like, you have to use that emotion that's around us and channel it in a positive fashion. Don't let it intimidate you. I said, we're good. Just do what we've been doing to get us here. And I was like, that is the best lie I've ever told, because I was like, oh my God, these guys could run us out of here with this energy.
Well, I want to go back to a couple of things. One, and this is something my dad taught me when I was coming up in the coaching ranks, like always respect your opponent and give gratitude to the other team's coaches. Like, we are all doing the same thing, either high school coaching or this AAU circuit coaching. You're in the world of coaching, and that's something I try to do now is I try to go talk to other coaches and give them my time and respect, because we're all putting in the time. And it doesn't matter if you're the top organization in AU or if you're one of the elite high school teams. What that coach is doing is the same thing the coach who's trying to win 8 games. And I've been on both sides of it. I watched my dad do it when we were going to regionals for 4 straight years. And I remember doing it when I was struggling, trying to get, you know, to 8 wins. And so that's something I'm glad to hear that they did and gave you time and effort for and respected the program, because you guys have worked really hard, you and Jay, to get this program to where it's at right now. Next thing I want, let's dive into the game here a little bit, Toby. You kind of talked about the start of it where they jumped out on us, got it going. You kept it close the whole time. You know, watching, I felt like there was a few shots that they went down. You could have had gotten something going, but in the end, nothing really kind of fell for us. Talk about the game here a little bit now and what happened in it.
So we knew they weren't particularly prolific shooting the three-point shot, which sets up well for us because shooting the basketball is a great equalizer and we shoot it really well. We didn't shoot it particularly well that night, which hurt us a little bit. And I thought if we shot it closer to average, we would have had a really good chance to win the game. But it never, the game never really spiraled. Like at one point, I think we were up as many as 5. At one point, we were down as many as 10. And it just kind of fluctuated back and forth between there. After that timeout, we got down 6-0 when they went on their run. We hit a big three-point shot. I believe Makai hit a three-point shot for us, and then Crutcher got loose on one of our inbounds plays, that backside play sweep that you guys ran for your 15 use too.
Yeah.
He made that, and it kind of settled us in because, okay, here's something that we've executed a million times over the course of the spring. We run it. We get the open look. We make it, and I thought those two shots really settled us down. Ultimately, they ended up hurting us at the rim. It was offensive rebound putbacks. It was straight line drives. Their athleticism and their physical gifts just wore us down. We actually had a breakaway layup at the end of the third quarter. Tie game, time running down the third quarter, breakaway layup. Nobody around our kid, and he just mishandles the ball. It kind of falls off his knee and goes out of bounds, and we end up going into the fourth quarter tied. If we lay that ball in, maybe things change a little bit. There's not one play that impacts winning or losing. And that kid had a great spring and summer for us. But it's just moments like that make you realize how important every single possession is. There's no one possession more important than the other. And that's what you try to explain to these kids. But we ended up losing by 12. Bryce James actually hit the dagger three that kind of put us away. It was 7-point game with about, I don't know, minute 50 left. And we got, they missed the shot. We, of course, did not rebound it. We struggled with rebounding this entire trip, and they kicked it out to Bryce James, who made the three-point shot to put him up 10, and that was kind of the end of that. But, yeah, I don't know how it looked on the stream or anything, but the environment there, my kids said combining high school and AAU, that was, for most of them, a top 3 to 5 game that they've ever played in.
Oh, I bet. Had to be. All right, let's go off the game here, though. Let's talk about – because this is me. I love this kind of stuff. Talk about the facilities of it. We've gone to 3 other Nike events. And so this is the biggest one of Nike is the Peach Jam. Talk about, you kind of described it a little bit when you walked in the front doors. This gym that you said was kind of in the back. Watching the games on TV, it felt like the gyms were separated and they had like their own hub to them and not just this big open venue, which some other places we've gone to have that feel to it. So talk about the facility a little bit, how many courts were there, the people that were walking around a little bit. You know, you mentioned that you saw 40 to 60 college scouts that first game. Talk about the venue a little bit and some of the coaches that were walking around the gyms.
Yeah, so these courts all had their own gymnasium. So when you walk in the front doors, I believe it was called Riverview. When you walk into Riverview where they have the Peach Jam, there's two courts immediately on your right and left. And it's just like a high school, gym. Like they have doors, you walk in, they have pull out bleachers and there's gyms. I believe there was 5 or 6 total courts. The marquee court or the main court that we were on was court 3/4 was what it was called. And that one had like the bowl that went all the way around. It had the balcony above it that went all the way around. The balcony was even packed for our game. It was crazy. A couple of the back courts have bleachers on one. The most common setup was bleachers on one side, college coaches with chairs all across the other side. And then the back courts also had a balcony going around it. But that main gym also had bleachers underneath the baskets and everything else. So facility was super, super nice. Sweet. Getting Nike gear from the Peach Jam is a complete debacle. Like, there were people waiting outside. They started handing out wristbands, okay? Wristbands to get the gear. You're not even able to get the gear. Wristbands to get in line. They started handing those out at 8 a.m. on Thursday. People were in line waiting to get a wristband at 2:45 a.m. 2:45 a.m. to not even purchase, to get a wristband to maybe purchase.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it was bonkers. And that's every high major coach that you can think of was there. I saw Bill Self. I actually talked to John Calipari, who's my favorite coach, who I like to model myself after. I couldn't help myself. I saw him walking around and I turned into a complete fangirl. And, you know, Meese was making fun of me. He's like, just go do it. Just go talk to the guy. And he was super nice, because they always say don't necessarily meet your heroes because you don't want it to take away from anything. But ironically enough, we were there scouting a team that we were going to play the next day. So I wasn't wearing bucket stuff. I had on my Arkansas Razorback Nike shirt. Just so happened that I see John Calipari when I got my Arkansas shirt on. Shook his hand, told him that he changed my life. I read all of his books, really liked the way he coached, and good luck this year. And he said, thank you very much. It was really nice meeting you. Looked me right in the eye and said, I really like your shirt. And that was it. And I let him go. I didn't want to be that guy that was hovering, and I didn't want to get a picture. I didn't want anything. I just wanted to say I met my hero. And that was so cool. And shout out to Coach Cal. I know he's probably a big fan of the podcast. It's where he gets all of his coaching insight. So
most definitely listen to the podcast, you know. Got to figure out how to get the bing bongs going at Arkansas. Hey, we didn't talk a whole lot of X's and O's with this one, with Peach Jam coming around, but like, I mean, did you have the sense that these, because you played 10 games, correct, Obi?
Yeah, 10. I think it was nine.
Nine, yeah. Yeah. Of these nine games, eight of them were against EYBO teams, which is the top Nike division, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might have been six.
Six of them?
Yeah.
You got two six of them against the EYBO teams. Did you have a sense?
Yeah, one, two.
Were they running stuff, or was it more four out, one in, five out, let my kids play basketball? Did you get a sense of a rhythm with some of these teams? Was it game to game, or did you feel like they all kind of had some sets that they went to in it? Because I know for us, you have quite a few sets that you like to run. You have two or three different base offenses you like to run. And so we try to mix it up and change stuff up. Did you have that sense with these higher level programs?
One program that did a really nice job was the Mean Streets team out of Chicago. He did a really nice job. They set a lot of ball screens. They ghosted some ball screens, had like a whole horn series. They did a nice job, and they were super talented. They were probably the best team that we played down there. Did a really, really nice job. So they were really organized. They had a bunch of stuff they could go to and run. Chris Paul's team, CP3, had about three sets, and then outside of that, it was kind of freelance. Obviously, we scouted those sets and did a nice job defending those sets. But it was freelance. The other Nike teams played, like the Family and Live On. Those teams played, I want to say, like an NBA style of basketball. Like, what they were doing was they would take your worst defender and set kind of a lazy ball screen on their best guy. So your worst defender would switch onto him, and then they would kind of isolate from there.
Yep.
They would throw it to a matchup that they liked and just kind of flatten out. Like, it was very isolation based, but it wasn't that they weren't coaching. It was just a different style. Like, they were picking and choosing, especially in the second half, who they were going at, when they were going at. There wasn't a lot of flow or rhythm to it, but it was very effective, and it was tough for us to guard.
Yeah, definitely. That's something, I mean, even the high school level, I've been trying to do a better job of that. Noticing the mismatches that favor your team, and trying to take advantage of it. And if a team does switch a lot, we would go to simple high ball screens to get post players onto a guard, and we ISO'd kids. And it's a very like you said, it doesn't feel like they're coaching, but they are. They're focusing on what the defense is giving them and who they want to go after. And it is difficult because you can try to switch, but then when you don't switch, they set harder screens, and so they end up switching anyways. And that is tough to defend, especially with the probably the talent of athletes that you ran into. Speaking of the athletes you ran into, talk about, and there's levels, man. Like, we saw some good athletes in the Nike level. Like, how much different of a level was these EYBL teams compared to where we saw previous?
You and I have talked about this before. Everybody kind of has a genetic cap on athleticism. Like, you can only be as athletic as God allows you to be. All these kids were capped out. Like, they had God-given gifts and they were capped out. They were in the top tier of athletes. And the hard part about that with coaching is they're all somewhat similar size. They're all 6'2 to 6. I mean, their big guys were huge. We played some 7-footers, but I mean, they're all tall. They're all long. No one's playing anybody that's undersized, and they can all guard 1 through 5. So they're switching everything, and their 6'8 post player is good enough laterally to stay in front of our point guard and our off guard sometimes. It makes it really challenging, and their guards are strong enough to push our bigs away from the basket. So while they're getting switches and abusing the mismatches, it was harder for us just from an athletic standpoint to overpower the matchups. Now, did my guards get around the bigs? Yes, my guards got around the bigs a lot of times when they switched on to them. My guards hit shots over the bigs. My guards created shots around their bigs. My post players posted up, finished plenty of times. I'm just saying it was more of a catch at 8 feet. I have to work and make an up and under on this guard because he's athletic and strong. Or my guard's got to get the big on his hip, create contact, and make a tough 10 to 15 footer. Like, we were just working so much harder to get and score shots, whereas they would just come down, get a switch, blow by us, layup, come down, get a switch, seal us at 2 feet, catch it, lay it in. Like, it was different styles of basketball.
So, hey, last thing I got is, and I saw this the other day on Twitter, and it pertains to what we're talking about here. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Carmelo Anthony's sons got into a little scuff, you would say. And Carmelo Anthony stepped onto the court and separated his son from the other kid. And I just kind of got to laughing a little bit because could you sense the energy level rise because it's Nike Peach Jam and it's the last event in the summer and it's all hands on deck, and everybody wanted to win every single game. Like, was the like just the overall height? And because, like, I watched Carmelo Anthony's son a couple times, a couple Nike events, and Carmelo was there, and he sat there and didn't say a whole lot. It was pretty quiet, and his son's a nice player, but like, I could just watching that video, I kind of chuckled to myself because I think it's just the energy of that event raises everybody up. It just turns you up a few notches. Is that right?
It's absolutely right. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that not only is it the championships of the Nike circuit, but it's one of there's like three live periods in the spring and summer. One is in the spring. That was when we were in Indianapolis for Nike. And then the next two are in July. So both these live periods are when Division I coaches can come out and really be involved with these kids. And so everyone's going to play harder when the Division I coaches are out. It's a little bit different when you're in Memphis on a live, non-live weekend and it's a different feel versus you're down in Augusta, Georgia, playing for something meaningful, and you got every high major coach out there watching you. Yes, I would say the intensity is completely different. And I noticed that from our first game against SFG because I watched every one of their games over the spring. And I was like, these guys are kind of lethargic, going through the motions a little bit. And I saw a few games where they turned it up, but I was like, hey, if they come out and are lethargic, we can really capitalize. Not one team that we played all week was lethargic ever. Everybody was up. Everybody was ready to go. And I even told Meisler, I was like, I think if we were on the regular circuit with some of these teams, we could have caught a couple more of these teams by surprise. But the fact that we were down there and that was the environment we were in, it was much harder because you were going to get everybody's best shot. No one was sleepwalking.
Gotcha. Hey, I'm gonna pull the classic news reporter on you. Coach Miller, is there anything that you would like to add to the questions I gave you that we didn't talk about Peach Jam? Give you one last chance here to talk about Peach. Is there anything that you want to bring up that With you being down there and me not being down there, is there something you want to add that we didn't hit on the head here the last half hour of talking?
The only thing I want to add before we get out of here, because we're running a little short on time, is I like the fact that we had to earn our way down there. I like that you have to, in our EYBL Champions League, you have to win your division. I think it makes it more special. Obviously, the regular EYBL, the top half of the teams get in. I think that devalues the whole circuit a little bit. You only have to be 500 and then you're down there playing it and you're good. Like, it doesn't really, wins and losses don't mean as much when you're guaranteed that spot down there. So I think it's really cool that we had high pressure games all spring, got it done, got to go down there, and then we're down there and we're competitive in just about every single game, won three games. I think it was cool. And it's just a testament to the great support systems we have in place in the Buckets organization. Meisler running it, guys like you helping out and coaching your teams. And I can't wait for your team and Mises' team to hopefully make it down there, because it's a great experience.
Outstanding, man. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening to the Point to Post podcast. Hey, we'd like to thank everybody for listening to the Point to Post podcast, talking about Peach Jam and all the exciting time that Toby had down there, my vacations and all that stuff. I'm going to throw it back to my point guard here for a second to talk about the next couple episodes coming up and some things we got working in the working or things in the works to get more involvement by you listeners. So, Toby, talk about a couple things we got coming up for these listeners.
Yeah, we got a couple of listener engagement activities that we got going on. We're gonna get some giveaways going. We got some gear now. We got some apparel. If Sweet would be so kind to stand up for some of the people, we got Bing Bong t-shirts, Bing Bong sweatshirts. We're gonna find ways to just make it a little bit lighter, a little bit more fun, and give out some gear and support the listeners the way the listeners are supporting us. And we have a really good time doing this. This is like our therapy, just two good friends getting on here and talking and having a good time. But yeah, we want to get more involvement from you guys. We want your feedback. We want to talk about what you want to listen to. And thanks again for listening. But Sweet, go ahead and get us out of here.
Well, thanks again for listening to Point to Post podcast. Wherever point guard needs to go post up, which Toby did post up as point guard at Peach. Every post player needs to be able to handle the basketball and be the point guard and get yourself into some motion action. So thanks for listening. Point to Post podcast. I'm your post player, Sweet. My point guard over here, Toby Miller. We're out of here. Thanks for listening.
Bing bong.